Hello, and welcome to episode number 63 of the Web 2.0 show. I'm your host, Adam Stachowiak. Today I had a chance to sit down and talk with Twilio. Actually, I talked with Jeff Lawson, the CEO, Evan Cook, the CTO, and John Wultice, the lead engineer. They all come from a technical background, as you'll hear in the podcast, and they actually developed Twilio as a scratch-your-own-itch kind of thing. If you're not familiar with what Twilio is, Twilio provides a REST-based web service API, a lot of buzzwords there, to build out scalable, reliable communication apps that receive and make phone calls. Long story short, folks, you can take your web application, if you can interface with a RESTful-based API and you can serve up XML or read XML, you can pretty much use Twilio. During the show, we talked about their service, where the idea came from, how they remain connected with and communicate with their development community. They do this very cool thing called Netbook Monday, which they blog about, they podcast about their development community who participates in this weekly contest. And every week they have a theme for the contest. So this week it might be a theme based around building out a Twilio-based app that best suits lead management or best suits this or best suits that. So they really do some very good things to support their community. They even have a LinkedIn network for the developers to participate in, and actually lots of their developers get business from that LinkedIn community. Obviously, since they've been in the business for a little while, and when I say in the business, what I mean by that is that Jeff, Evan, and John have all been through startups. They've each done their own share of startups, and this is not their first time to the rodeo. So they talk about some very unique things about their business, but also they share a lot of their experience. They talk about various services they've used to build out Twilio and keep Twilio lean and agile as a business in this kind of age with a downed economy or even a slight downturn or anything. They really give you a lot of insight in towards how you can be and remain lean. If you're not following the show or you're not following me on Twitter, please do so now. Head to twitter.com/AdamSTAC or twitter.com/Web20Show. Follow us both on Twitter. I've got some very cool stuff happening in 2010, the first part of 2010. So please, if you're not following me now, do so if you want to know. Soon I'll be releasing a mailing list too that if you want to get on it, I'll release some information via email as well, not just Twitter. But mid-January, please stay tuned because I've got something very cool happening and I cannot wait to share it with you guys. Enjoy the holidays. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. Be safe. I'm here with Jeff Lawson, Evan Cook, and John Wultice. Jeff Lawson is the CEO, Evan Cook is the CTO, and my new friend John is the lead engineer. Gentlemen, go ahead and say hello.
How's it going?
Howdy.
Hello.
So Twilio is a web services API for doing some pretty cool stuff. What? Tell me about yourselves and the work you're doing at Twilio, and I'll let you guys choose who goes first and take it from there pretty much.
Yeah, absolutely. This is Jeff. So Twilio is a web service that allows companies and their developers to build really any kind of voice communications application you can think of, anything that makes or receives phone calls. And you know, our whole point is we take care of all the complexity of interconnecting with telecoms and carriers and all these voice-specific, you know, CPU networking-intensive applications. We take care of all that. We scale it. We make it reliable. And we let you as a developer just build a simple web service, web application that we talk to in real time during the phone call. And you direct what happens on the phone call. So you can build things like IVR systems, like PBX systems, like click-to-calls, like lead generation, call tracking, phone surveys, really anything you can imagine where you make or receive a phone call.
We're all actually technical guys in terms of background. The company itself is all developers, so it's really fun actually building a product which is targeted at developers because we're all developers ourselves. And the architecture that we've developed is unique in a bunch of ways, and we can cover it later in the discussion. But I'll let John introduce himself first.
Hi, I'm John. I'm the lead developer and one of the co-founders here at Twilio. I think my background is basically been a startup engineer for about 10 years now. I think Jeff and I have worked at a couple of companies in the past. That's basically my story.
Okay, so you guys have worked together. So John, you and Jeff, the CEO, have done some work in the past. You all have an engineering or programmatic background. Tell me about some of the early inceptions, the idea behind Twilio, and where you guys sort of came from. If it happened in a bar, let me know about that. I mean, if you're a fan of GitHub, they actually started their business out of a bar.
Yeah, Twilio was actually founded in a Grecian spa. No, I'm joking. Actually, how we started Twilio is an interesting story. Where it was born from was our own need for something like Twilio, which, from an entrepreneurial perspective, is my favorite kind of way of starting a company, because you can really just, if you want to be a user of the product yourself, right?
You gotta scratch your own itch.
Exactly. And so where it came from is this is my fourth startup. And at each one of the startups I'd done prior to this, we'd actually had a need for Twilio, for the ability to build voice applications that either called out or received calls, and typically was integrated with some other aspect of what the company was doing. So I'll give you an example. I was the first CTO of StubHub.com, the online ticketing exchange. And there we needed to coordinate these ticket sellers, these people who were selling the tickets, with the buyers, and in particular with couriers. People would pick up the tickets and deliver them to the venue the day of the event. So we wanted to do it via voice. We wanted a phone call to go out to the seller, asking them, hey, are you at home? Are you at work? And then a call going out to the courier, telling them to, hey, go get this ticket from the seller, all this stuff. And we looked at the world of telecom, and it was really scary. And it was, whole new types of software that we'd never dealt with before, whole new stacks of software, real-time apps that were very different from web apps, and a whole new world of vendors you have to go talk to. And so, we basically kept punting on it. We kept saying, oh, maybe we'll tackle that thing later. And of course, we really never did. And so Twilio was born of the idea, well, let's make that easy. Let's make the task of building communications applications as easy as building web apps, and make a web developer totally at home in the world of telecom. And that's where Twilio came from. And so we started out by feeling that need and seeing that need over the course of many different companies to say, hey, well, we're gonna try to scratch that itch, as you say.
And so the underlying technology is pretty much XML to do all the back and forth talking, right?
So we communicate with the developer's web application to get sort of the business logic of the phone call. What happens during the call? Are you reading text or playing back audio or waiting for them to gather, press digits on their keypad or recording the call, etc.? That's all XML over HTTP or HTTPS. So any web developer using any language, running on any stack, PHP, Ruby, Java, Python, C#, MySQL, Oracle, whatever they got, if they can receive an HTTP request and return to us XML, then it'll work with us.
So there's two aspects to the architecture. The first is the real-time call control. And so there the idea is what Jeff's talking about, is you can control what happens on that call using only five core primitives: say, play, gather, record, and dial. And that basically makes up all of the things that you need to do on a phone call. The second aspect of the system is the REST API. And what this lets you do is actually query asynchronously state about running calls or previous calls. So you can go back and get information about all the calls that you made last week or last month or last year. All that information is ready and available to you, as well as the state of running phone calls. So you can actually post to our REST API and move a running live call to another URL which has different business logic. And so by combining both real-time call control with this asynchronous RESTful aspect, you get a lot of really powerful features for your voice application, all using standard web technologies, which, as Jeff described, every web developer is familiar with already.
So have we answered the question really of what is it and how does it work? Or is that kind of wrapped up in all that? Is there a deeper, darker secret to what is it and how it works?
The hood, sort of off in the cloud, we're doing all sorts of interesting things. I mean, we're a very large cluster of VoIP-enabled machines that are able to talk to any carrier that is scalable, that is reliable, and then has this HTTP interface, you know, REST in real time to our customers' applications. But under the hood, we're running, you know, a very large cluster of highly redundant and reliable pieces of architecture to make that a reality.
I actually took a quick minute, and I basically went out to your YouTube account and caught that first video, and I went through that simple, easy, you know, hello world kind of application, and I even created a Web 2.0 show call-in conference number, just basically doing what I think it was Jeff and Evan who was on that video. That's kind of cool just to use simple XML. So what you're saying is that you've built a lot of this deeper, darker secrets underneath this deeper layer of redundancy and all that, but at the top layer, you're just kind of calling XML from any type of web service, RESTful-based web service, so non-developers can jump in as well.
Yeah, so you know, right now it is primarily developer-oriented, but we've had some people who aren't developers do some really interesting things, like, you know, take that conferencing feature, and you can write now a conference line using Twilio in three lines of XML code, right? And so we've had people who really aren't developers but see that, you know, draft a, you know, take the XML example document and, you know, do something like upload it to Dropbox, as simple as that. And then they just point Twilio's phone number at the Dropbox URL of that XML file, and it works. So it's really neat is by, you know, embracing web standards, you get all these tools, both developer, but also just these, you know, consumer tools that are out there, like Dropbox. You can just upload a file and now it's online.
I've actually, you know, took your example there and went right to the T just to see how easy it was. And I literally just opened up TextMate, switched to the XML bundle, had a couple nice little bundle features in there, typed out my XML document, saved it, put it in my Dropbox. Actually, I'm a user of Dropbox. Found my public URL, went back to your account manager, popped my uses URL in there, and hit save, and bam. Made a phone call, and in a couple seconds, I was actually just, you know, talking to myself.
That's so awesome.
So there's no real limit to what kind of languages this works with, so long as, like you just said, Ruby, Java, it really doesn't matter. So there's no limit to what Twilio works with. What are you working with right now, though? Like, what kind of wrappers are already written for Twilio?
Well, we've got wrappers for PHP, Ruby, Java, Python, C#. The community has written one for Perl. The community has actually written a bunch, different Ruby ones, different PHP ones, different Java ones. In fact, you know, one of the interesting things was initially the language bindings that we wrote were basically wrappers around talking about REST API. But the call control stuff, outputting the XML, was something that you know, we didn't address. And the community went out and for almost every language built out a call control sort of API native to that language so that, you know, you didn't have to actually manually craft the XML. So we're pretty blown away by that. And so we can offer that as part of our libraries as well.
And I assume that that's probably because you're hosting your Ruby wrappers and your various wrappers for Twilio on GitHub. Is that right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we just want developers to have the best tools. And so, you know, we open source them, we put them on GitHub, and we actively encourage people to you know, fork them and prove them and contribute back.
Awesome. And I see you have labs.twilio.com, and you've got a few different things you're working on. Can you tell me about some of those three different projects you have listed there?
Labs is kind of, you know, it's our playground, as, you know, most companies who have a labs, you know, sort of what it is. But it's things we've been experimenting with. So the biggest thing there is Twimlets. You'll see that. And what Twimlets are sort of small voice applications, you know, like applets. We call them Twimlets because the name of our language is Twiml, the Twilio markup language. So we call them Twimlets. And so what they do, each one is just a simple voice application, and the parameters that it needs to execute are passed in via the URL. So let's say you want to create a, you know, you want to have a phone line that just forwards to another phone number. Well, you could just create a URL like twimlets.com/, I think it's forward, and then in the URL you say ? You know, forward to equals, then you put a phone number in. And now if you wire that URL up to a phone number, the application does that. It'll do the call forwarding. And then these Twimlets also have a chaining capability. So you can take and you can do things like, you know, if nobody answers, then you can forward it to another Twimlet. Maybe that one takes a voicemail. And so you can create these call flows by chaining together all these little applets, Twimlets together, and build up some interesting functionality. And it also means that for a lot of applications, you no longer need a server because Twilio runs these things that are hosted. And so if you had a simple app that just needs to like make a phone call and play an MP3, well, you could just wire that up to a Twimlet, and you don't even have to have a web server for that MP3. So where it becomes interesting, is another example that we wrote as the third one on the labs page, which is making phone calls from the command line in Unix, right? So now you can take and via Unix just have a command that basically just makes an HTTP request to Twilio's REST API and says, hey, call this phone number. And the content of that phone call is whatever the person typed at the command line, and you just pass that into a Twimlet that reads it back to you. So it's sort of like puzzle pieces that you can mix and match and fit together and build all sorts of interesting things.
To extend on that a little bit more, so the power of that is that each of these Twimlets could potentially be hosted on different servers with different architectures. So imagine for a moment a call starts on Dropbox, and then you have it fall through to another server running PHP, and then that call gets controlled now by a server running .NET, and then eventually goes back to Dropbox in the end. And all of that is happening behind the scenes. The caller has no idea that behind the scenes their call is being controlled by all of these different technologies. And what this means is that you as a developer or a company can implement the business logic for your voice applications or your communications application in whatever technology you're familiar with and whatever technology is best for the individual task, utilizing all your existing databases and things like that. So just to go back to that command line thing for a second, imagine that you have a cron task or something like that as administrator, and you have a failure or something like that. You could just take that little script and then echo back, oh no, my server failed, and then pass it to the script, and that would just have it give you a call if there was a problem or something like that. So the power of these little Twimlets is the idea that you can embed these little this functionality throughout your different workflows, whether you're an administrator, whether you're a business person.
The server monitoring services, they should actually look into this, because I've seen clients call me whenever servers go down or whatever, and it's so embarrassing that they know, they always know, never fails, they always know before you, and why not just take a couple lines of XML and integrate Twilio, right?
Yeah, exactly. I remember we had one company early on that did an integration between Twilio and Pingdom. So if you had server outages, it used Pingdom's API and would save you a call.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
oh,
yeah. Absolutely. The other thing that's cool, I don't know if you know the guys at CloudKit.
No.
I don't know if you know them. They're sort of like a cloud orchestration interface. So you can, say, bring up machines at Amazon or Rackspace. And they sort of then manage, talking to the APIs of the various cloud providers. So they wrote an interesting thing that, and they also do monitoring of instances that you bring up using their web service. And so they did an interesting thing. You'd bring up, let's say, a server at Amazon or Rackspace. They'd start monitoring it for you. And if that server went down, or actually more specifically, if machines, like a process, let's say Apache goes down, they would give you a phone call. And it would say, we're calling to let you know that on this machine, for example, the Apache process has died. Press 1 to restart the process. Press 2 to, and they'd actually let you administer your Unix machine from your phone. It's pretty interesting like that. And they actually open source the whole framework for that. It's a Nagios plugin.
Yeah, that's awesome. I hadn't heard of that. So that's open source. I'll make sure I take a note of that, because that's really cool. So we're talking about different uses of it. I think when I spoke with Danielle, when I was initially setting up for talking to you guys, she had mentioned something very cool, and it got me kind of excited. And she mentioned you guys having an app store soon. Is that true?
Well, what we want to do, I wouldn't call it an app store. What we want to do is be able to highlight the work that our developers and our customers are doing. So we've started doing this like weekly contest where developers submit their apps to us to we give away a netbook every week. And so, and then we blog every week about the winner from last week, and we give visibility to what they're doing, and we let them see, give visibility in the community to what other people are doing, because it's inspiration for everybody to see, get new ideas and to see what other people are doing. So we want to provide ways to, provide more exposure to what developers, are up to. So, along those lines, we recently put together a apps on a map which is all the people who've submitted, I guess all the people whose addresses we know and have submitted to our contests who wanted to get publicity, we put on a big Google map, and it's kind of cool. You just see flags for developers all around the world.
Yeah, I was actually checking that out a little bit ago. I see that San Francisco got a few apps, and there's like maybe four or five different users that are publicly known using Twilio there. But there's probably, at least from my vantage point, quite a bit going on in the States. A lot of happenings is on the Eastern Seaboard. Not too many startups. There's nothing in Houston. I'm sad about that. What's going on? Nothing in Houston. Dallas has got a couple. Getting up to Kansas City. Colorado's got something going on. Up in Seattle, they got something. Of course, Seattle's got it going on. They're awesome up there. What about Jackson, Florida? Jacksonville? No, nothing out there. So this is kind of like a vantage point of who's jumped on board, right?
Yeah, you know, it's sort of a small sampling of people whose addresses we happen to know because we had to send them a netbook or something. We just thought it was a neat way to visualize, what's going on. And we're just, looking for, we just love to give attention to what people are doing, to jog people's ideas and inspire other developers to build things along those lines as well.
So every week you're producing your weekly, daily, you're producing content for the blog, and then you're also podcasting once a week about, what is it, a weekly contest? Tell me about that.
Yeah, so what we've been doing this for about almost, I think, 6 months now, where every week we give away a netbook to the best application that the developer submitted for a theme that week. So a theme might be something like, a use case for Twilio, like using Twilio in retail. That was last week. Or using Twilio for lead generation, or using Twilio for interactive advertising. Or it might also be a feature of Twilio. It might say, hey, like, the theme this week is Twilio's transcription capabilities. What can you build using that feature? And everyone has until Sunday at midnight to submit their app for consideration that week. And then usually Monday afternoon, we announce a winner. And that person gets a netbook and a care package from us. They get Twilio shirt, a bunch of other things. But, we call it Netbook Monday. The whole idea is to, again, just give more motivation for people to, build the thing that they've been thinking about building. And by providing just a little incentive, we're not big fans of saying, hey, the, huge prize, because, I think actually developers are less interested in the giant prize and more about recognition and about, getting visibility into what they're doing and letting other people see what they're doing. So, we just thought the netbook was a nice prize. It's not, over the top, and it's, relatively inexpensive. So we can feel free to give one away every week and just try to, see what developers are up to. So it's been really fun. And actually, there's another thing that we've been doing. The month of December, there are, I think, close to 20 startup weekends going on. Are you familiar with Startup Weekend?
Yeah, absolutely. I've actually taken part in one. I haven't gotten a chance. It hasn't been back to Houston, I don't think, since then. But
yeah, so it's a really cool weekend. I mean, I guess for anybody who doesn't know what it is, it's basically Friday night through Sunday night. People get together and people bring ideas on Friday of a startup they want to start over the weekend. And they pitch their idea to the crowd, and then people break up into teams and actually build the first versions of those ideas. And they, typically, I think the average startup weekend, maybe we'll do, five or six products in a weekend. And really, they've got something to launch on Sunday night, basically 48 hours later. And people, some people come and they're designers, some are developers, some people are marketing, and they get together and build this stuff. So it's been, it's a really cool place for entrepreneurial spirit. And so what we've been doing is we've been sponsoring the startup weekends in the month of December and providing a contest for the best startup weekend project of all these ones that are going on in late November and December that use Twilio. Everyone on the team is going to win a netbook. So we're really excited about that. We've been seeing some really cool, not just startups and also really great uses of Twilio and things like that coming out of the startup weekend. So it's been very exciting.
Have any of you guys actually taken part in the startup weekend? I guess you kind of have with all your startups, right?
We are a startup weekend.
Every weekend's a startup weekend.
Since we talked a little bit about some of the applications, are there any specific applications you want to highlight that have been developed so far? Like, I know that Danielle's got this pretty interesting video about the order pizza iPhone app. And that got me kind of excited to actually see her, you know, place the call, you know, or place the order via her iPhone and actually get the pizza delivered minutes later.
Yeah, that was a fun one. I thought that was really, really cool. There's a bunch of stuff to mention. I mean, I think some of the really cool stuff's being done in like lead generation, in pay-per-call type scenarios where, you know, you've got a website that's doing all this traffic and you basically sell click-throughs and call-throughs to advertisers on the site. And so if I've got a local site that's got a lot of traffic for people coming for local, find a plumber, right? And I actually put people's phone numbers right there on the site. And I actually, instead of putting their phone numbers, I put a Twilio-provided phone number on. And I track the call and I route the call to the plumber. And I charge the plumber for the call. It's a very typical lead generation use case. It's called pay-per-call. And people have been doing really interesting stuff with Twilio in that realm, because it's a very, you know, profitable business for them. And lead generation is, great. It's a win for everybody. The plumber example or pizza shop, they love getting the highly qualified leads. The lead generation play company typically to be able to then provide those leads to the better. And phone calls are the best way to do it because consumers want to just pick up the phone and call a phone number and talk to the damn plumber already. They don't want to fill out a data form and get called back tomorrow kind of thing. So the pay-per-call market's been really big. Another ones, we've seen a lot of interesting stuff in the political realm, in the form of political polling, in the form of advocacy, the types of applications where, let's say I am trying to advocate for a certain political supporter base of 100,000 people, let's say, I can tell them, hey, call this phone number and tell Congress that you support, this cause, right? And so what they do is they build, instead of actually telling you to call one of your representatives, they actually give you a Twilio phone number. And when you call it, based on your zip code, it'll figure out who are your senators, who are your representatives, federally, locally, et cetera. And it'll actually call all of them sequentially for you. It'll say, hey, I'm connecting you to your senator now. And then after that call is over, it'll say, great, I'm calling your representative now. And it'll commence that call. And even connecting you like to the White House. So we've got a few people, including one of the major political parties and some nonprofits, as well as some for-profit companies. A company called Mobile Commons is one of those that have done some really amazing things around political advocacy using Twilio. Some other interesting use cases are like marketing-wise. So Sony has been using Twilio to power up these viral marketing campaigns around the launch of record releases. So they have this app where you can actually initiate a call to your buddy. You send a text message in with your buddy's phone number and that your buddy gets a call and it's the lead singer of the band and be like, hey, and they usually, they go to the studio and they record a bunch of really funny, interesting greetings, like, and they'll change it up every day. Like, hey, your buddy told me that you were out eating Taco Bell at 3 a.m. last night instead of listening to our new album. So, why don't you go, pick up a copy? It's in stores today. Here's a clip. And then they'll play you a clip from the album. And so it's, really interesting viral stuff. Sony has been doing.
It sounds like some of this stuff should have already been built into the existing telecom system already, right? Like this should just be, you just always assume that this kind of power should have been there already.
Yeah. It's one of these things where, we are just trying to like lower the barrier. Like if you look at how much people can accomplish in web application development today.
Oh yeah.
Startup Weekend, right there, Weekend using something like Rails, you can build an entire product in a weekend. I mean, first, right? And iterate. Cut it. So, it's so easy that we wanted to provide the same level of ease with, communication services. That's what we see is very important here, is it's no longer a high barrier from the technology side as far as figuring out, very bizarre APIs, or from a business side too. Like typically you'd have to go, cut a deal with a carrier or with, a bunch of enterprise software vendors to go start playing around in the world of telecom. And so we've said, no, just let you start, on your own timeline with a simple, free trial, pay-as-you-go pricing. You don't need to get anyone's permission. There's no business development people involved. You don't need a lawyer. You can just get started on your own time frame. And then when you're ready, we're there to scale it up for you as well. So
yeah, it took me about, probably 2 minutes even, if that, to sign up for the service, get in, read the next steps, realize that I had a call number assigned to me, which was the trial sandbox. I saw my pin. It was really easy to get set up. I mean, I saw the $30 balance that you started me off with, which gave me, you know, a number of trial minutes to use, outbound and inbound, and also transcription minutes. And in a matter of 1 minute, I was able to create that XML document, put it up there, update the URL, and I had my friend call in a number like 3.5 minutes later, and bam, I had a conference call, and just as simple as that.
Less than 5 minutes.
Less than 5 minutes. I mean, literally, I'm probably stretched a little bit there, but it was really, really quick. Like super quick. And if I would have, you know, been crazy and had some more time and took it one next step further, I might have been able to actually use your save verb and play back an MP3 versus the default voice that got played. But I was kind of trivial and I put web, the number, or the word two, the word O-O-H, point, P-O-I-N-T, show. You know, it was kind of like that. Because of the awesome phonics, you know, because if you put the web 2.0 show in there, it would probably spell out web 2.0.
Yeah, I think it's really interesting, because you know, by putting the power in the hands of developers, you know, really anyone with basic web development skills, it's like, you know, if you look at carriers and like the people who typically sell you voice applications, like, you know, your carrier, right? What's the last voice application they really successfully deployed? I would say voicemail about 20 years ago.
Right. That was back in the 70s,
Yeah, I don't, you know, like late 80s maybe is when voicemail started getting big. I'm not entirely sure the exact time. I would say 20 years ago. But it's like, you know, where's the innovation? Well, all the innovation is being done in, you know, for lack of a better word, the user space, right? It's being done by developers who are free now to experiment and play. It's being done by people like, you know, Google and Google Voice, which is not, you know, is being done on top of the carriers. And so we are all about giving that ability for people to build these applications, integrate them with existing use cases and existing applications, web apps or existing, you know, things that they're already doing like podcasting. So you can now take that MP3, automatically post it to your site or automatically email it to you so you can do your editing and things like that. And, you know, just let people build applications that fit in with what they are already doing and not have to wait for a carrier's timeline to build and deploy some application.
So what kind of advice can you give? You guys had mentioned you're entrepreneurs at your spirit. You work in this space that has, you know, automatic in there. You've got various other startups. So you kind of have this entrepreneurial spirit around you all day long. What kind of advice can you give to today's entrepreneur, given the kind of space we're in with the real-time web coming about us? You've got social networking platforms like Facebook and Twitter that are connecting us, you know, literally within seconds. You've got the power of the crowd happening pretty much in every application. And you also have this economic downturn. What kind of advice can you give to entrepreneurs in this kind of space?
I think, you know, Nike nailed it, which is just do it. It used to be, I mean, even just 10 years ago, you know, I started my first company in the dot-com days. And there were still fairly high barriers to, you know, building and deploying things. But today, using things, you know, you got Ruby on Rails to make your application development easy. You've got Amazon Web Services or Rackspace to deploy your applications in minutes. You've got, you know, public web services to, you know, create and consume data. I mean, it's just nothing, you know, if you want to build a Twitter app, just go do it. Like, their API is there, you know, CPU from Amazon is cheap, and, you know, spend a weekend writing your Rails app and get your first version out there. It's easy. I mean, it's not easy, but it's a lot easier than it used to be. So I think the biggest thing that holds people back is saying, oh, do I have the perfect idea, or maybe people won't like it, or, you know, things like that. And I think at some point it just comes down to throw something out there and see what happens. You know, you don't have to commit your life to it to begin with. You know, just start off with saying, I have a hypothesis I'm going to test it. And testing it actually could be, interestingly enough, it could be building it, you know, a quick prototype and throwing it out there. It could just be talking to potential customers and potential users of whatever idea you have. Because that's also a very powerful way. Like when we first, you know, we're thinking about the early stages of Twilio, we went out and talked to a lot of web developers. And, you know, we ourselves were developers, but we also wanted to talk to others to make sure we weren't, you know, off our rocker here. And we went and talked to people who are, you know, friends, colleagues, strangers, you know, people who are in the potential customer of our space. And we told them a bit about the idea. And pretty unilaterally, people just kind of understood it and their minds started spinning, gears were turning, they were getting ideas. And to us, that was an early indicator that, I think we might have an idea that will resonate with the audience that we intend. And so go do that for whatever your idea is. Go talk to potential customers, potential users, or just build the prototype. Get it out there. Start getting people to get their hands on it, and they'll give you feedback. Oh, they will give you feedback.
Absolutely. And how do you guys handle feedback?
So we've got a lot of different channels that we monitor. We do email support. We do get satisfaction for public forums. We take phone calls, et cetera. But what's interesting is that we actually handle all those forms of communication via Zendesk. And we just love it. We actually manage our get satisfaction, our emails, our calls, all that stuff via Zendesk. And so it's fabulous. And, lets us do things like track and make sure we're getting back to people in a timely manner and assign, who's the best person to respond to this particular issue or question. And actually, the best thing is we just configured this thing that yells at us if we have taken too long to get back at people, to get back to answering people's questions. So it'll actually email the whole company and say, this question has gone unanswered for 24 hours. You idiots, get back to this person.
That's awesome.
So just to add on to that point and go back to the entrepreneur issue, if you want to be an entrepreneur, there's never been a better time to actually start a business in terms of the mechanics of running a business. So Twilio itself relies on a number of different services. Jeff mentioned Zendesk. Another one we use is Earth Class Mail, which lets you have a real mailing address. Customers, you can receive mail, and what they do is they scan it in and then email it to you, so you don't actually have to physically get a post office box and deal with all the hassle. They take care of that for you.
Or get an office. You can be completely virtual.
Completely virtual. There's a ton of other services. Write Signature is a way to sign documents virtually. There's a host of services.
EchoSign.
EchoSign, there's another one.
What's the one? Write Signature?
Write Signature. There's just a plethora of these different services out there to let you start a business quickly, easily, and with very little cost. So it requires very little investment to actually get up and running to start a business these days.
It's interesting because we're in San Francisco. All the venture capitalists down in Menlo Park, they're all crying because people don't need as much money to start companies anymore. They don't need VCs at the early stages like they used to, the Series A, because it's so cheap. Because there's all these inefficient, inexpensive ways to get things that used to cost a lot of money and take a lot of time are now relatively simple and fast and very. Scalable with your company, right? So when we first started out, we didn't have an office. We looked out of coffee shops and Wi-Fi and all that. And eventually we did start to have an office and we rented desks by the month. So it just scaled with, we need to make a big, commitment or pay a lot of money. We just sort of scaled with the number of people we had in the company. Same thing with our servers, same thing with, all this stuff. So like Evan said, it's the best time to start a company because it's, your costs can be nothing. And if they are something, they can scale with the amount of business you're doing, with the amount of sales you're doing, the number of people you've hired. Very few fixed costs required to start a company now.
Yeah, there's a lot of good services you mentioned there. John, you got anything to say? You've been kind of quiet.
I tend to agree with most of what Jeff said there. There's so many services that are...
What do you disagree with, John?
Fair enough. The one thing I would add is just there's so many new co-working spaces that are popping up all over the country. Like college towns and small, major cities and small cities are actually people are getting together. People who are sort of the same mindset are getting together, renting an office and just renting desks and just having, we are a group of people, like-minded people who are, taking risk and doing a startup or doing an independent contracting work or this and that. But we all... we're tired of working by ourselves in coffee shops somewhere. We all want to get together and be around people we know and, have sort of that sort of collaborative spirit, but still very cheaply do what we're doing. I think that's I've seen a lot of that popping up for the last couple of years. And I think it just makes it all that much easier to get started, to start doing your own company.
Yeah. And it's a great social thing too. You get to, sometimes, starting something up is, it's kind of lonely, right? If you're used to working at a bigger company maybe, or, whatever it is, it's, if it's just you going to a coffee shop every day and writing code, you start to say, well, I kind of want to interact with humans again. And so co-working spaces are cool because you actually get to, you know, interact with other people on a daily basis and hear war stories and everything else.
It's a good way to network as well. I mean, if you're with a whole bunch of other people who are all going through the same process as you, getting a company started, it's like, you know, I need a bookkeeper, I need a lawyer, I need an accountant, you know, who can recommend this, that, or the other thing, or, you know, just services and advice and things like that. It's really useful to have a group of people who are going through the same thing as you are and have sort of similar experiences.
For those interested in the more academic perspective of doing a startup, I really recommend Eric Ries's The Lean Startup blog. If you Google The Lean Startup, you'll find it. He has tons of information about iterating on product design and the fundamentals of starting a business.
Also, another great resource is Venture Hacks. Nivi and Kamal or Naval blog about just, you know, things related to fundraising and starting a company and corporate structures. I mean, kind of boring-ish stuff, but they actually do a great job of boiling it down to what matters for the entrepreneur. So venturehacks.com.
Awesome. Yeah, those are two good resources. I've known about Venture Hacks, but I didn't know about the Lean Startup blog, so I'll have to check that one out for sure. So I guess in light of some of these things, you must have something super secret going on with what you guys are doing at Twilio. Is there anything super secret that's just on the near horizon of your business that you're just about to release that you have to tell the audience of the Web 2.0 show today?
So we have a bunch of stuff that's right around the corner. We don't have anything to announce today. We're really excited about the conferencing feature we just released. It really makes conferencing, as you were saying, something so easy anybody can build a conference line. And we have in the pipeline a bunch of features that really take that, they're that easy, that take things that used to be hard and make them that easy. So we're really excited about conferencing, and we've got a bunch of new stuff over the next couple of months that we're going to be releasing to developers.
And how do you go about, I guess, attacking the social media to put this kind of information out? You got your blog, you've got this podcast you're doing weekly with your developers, you have your Get Satisfaction sort of public forum, but how else are you engaging with social media?
A lot of, you know, Twitter, obviously. You know, we actually look at Twitter as a way of distributing content. So, you know, we'll write about something on the blog or a new feature or a how-to or something like that, and we'll let people know about it by getting it out on Twitter. So Twitter's a great way to just to notify people of new content and also to have the dialogues. People, you know, respond, obviously. You know, what else do we do? Facebook. We got a Facebook group. We've got a LinkedIn group. So, you know, it's interesting. Each one has sort of their own personality. Like the LinkedIn group is a lot of developers and people who, you know, actually get business via that LinkedIn group. So somebody says, hey, I'm looking for a developer who can help me build X, Y, and Z. We'll refer them to the LinkedIn group, and those developers can then get, you know, work and find jobs and things like that.
So if you're a developer and you're interested in getting started with Twilio, one of the first places you should go is obviously Twilio.com and sign up for an account. That's step one. Step two is go to your LinkedIn profile and connect with the Twilio user group. Is that right?
Yeah, the Twilio Developer Network. And yeah, we post news and updates here. We also have, for the people that are interested in cutting edge things, an early access program in which we, you know, let people play around with some of the new features that we're working on. So if you're of that type of person and you like playing around with the hottest new stuff, then send us an email at help@twilio.com and we can hook you up.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing what the Web2.0 show audience kicks back once we put this out, because I know that I've collaborated with one of my developer friends, a couple of them actually, and we've come up with a few different unique applications of your service on top of it. What I like about it is that, you know, you provide the architecture, the very strong architecture, and have taken out all the kinks. At least from what we see, you know, there's tons of stuff I'm sure that are still getting kicked up. But for the most part, you've taken out the largest barrier, and which is mentioned on the podcast already, and developers can just get started with their idea and put it out there, you know, super, super quick. So I'm actually excited to get a weekend where we could take our time and do our own little version of an internal startup weekend or an internal Rails Rumble, as you might say.
Awesome. Well, we'll need to send you some t-shirts if you build something cool.
Well, cool, guys. I love everything you guys are doing. I'm super excited about this. I think, you know, putting telepathy into the cloud like you guys have done, and this service you've built out is super strong. I'm very, very excited about where it's going, and I look forward to seeing you guys out there on the internets.
Great. Well, thanks a lot, Adam. It's been great chatting. And anybody can reach us, Twilio.com, email us, help@Twilio.com, and we'd love to hear about new ideas or talk to new people.
Awesome.
Yeah, real pleasure, Adam.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you for listening to this edition of the Web 2.0 Show. Be sure to check out web20show.com for links in the show notes or to leave a comment on the show. Thanks for listening.